You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. What have you got for us, Rachel?
You've heard about coronavirus affecting businesses and the finance world, but not about how it affects the most vulnerable workers. While millennial freelancers have basically been on quarantine for the past 5 years or so, staying at home watching Netflix, talking on chat rooms and ordering Uber Eats, the gig economy and casual workers such as Uber drivers, cleaners and delivery drivers who work as contractors rather than employees don't have access to basic rights such as paid sick leave. The most vulnerable workers around the world, and often those with public-facing service jobs, are just going to have to keep working. According to the latest Welfare Expert Advisory Group report, support for displaced workers in New Zealand is particularly weak. Compared with OECD practice, New Zealand has an inadequate system for dealing with job loss, redundancy and labour market shocks. Redundancy pay is not required by law. The stand-down provisions between work and benefit entitlement are poor. I spoke with Council of Trade Unions Policy Director and economist Andrea Black about how the government is and should be approaching the harm done to working people during the coronavirus outbreak. What has the relationship been between the government and the trade unions during the coronavirus outbreak? What promises has the government made to deal with the economic impacts of the outbreak on working people? I guess that's a two-part question there.
Okay, well, the relationship's been excellent. As the Prime Minister said, we were in a sort of tripartite meeting a few weeks ago with her key ministers, senior officials, Business New Zealand and representatives from industry. And from that we gave a number of things that we would like to see happen, which included the stand down being removed, and that's happened. We've been working with MB on advice to workers and businesses. We've recently been involved with, we've had a very good productive meeting with MSD on income options for people who are laid off or don't have sick leave or whatever, and so we're looking at working with them to get messages out to the right channels. But no, so I've no complaints or think that the relationship has been excellent. In terms of promises, no, I mean, there haven't been promises. They have engaged with us and also Business New Zealand, and they're doing their work. And and we're being engaged with.
So I've seen some of the unions, like First Union, have been saying, looking to the Welfare Expert Advisory Group report and saying that this is what the government should be doing. Yep. What stands out to me in that report is the spousal income recommendation. Yep. Why is it important that the benefit is available even if one spouse is in paid employment?
Well, increasingly, maybe over the last 20 years, low to middle income households have needed two incomes to either have a comfortable life or not be in poverty, or, you know, two incomes have been needed. So when you have one partner out of work, that is a, you know, possibly the income to the household halves. And so because there is another partner working, they aren't able to get any assistance from the government. And anything that means that, well, people are, you know, are in hardship, or might mean that they go to work and they shouldn't otherwise for financial reasons, all of these are sending the wrong kind of messages and incentives into the economy, given that we're wanting to contain the virus and stop it spreading. So anything that can help that way, as well as supporting people who have lost incomes, you know, we're completely behind First in their call for benefits to become individualised.
So as for the gig economy workers, I've seen that some Uber drivers have been speaking out about how since they're contractors, not employees, they can't get paid sick leave and they just have to keep driving and be around people.
Yeah.
What kind of provisions should be put in place for this kind of situation?
Well, I think that's the case of where the welfare system should be coming in. And to be fair, when we met with MSD, that is exactly the sort of thing that they're looking at and hoping that such gig workers contact them. There's apparently a government direct line that anyone who's affected by COVID-19 can contact. And also it's entirely possible in the benefits system for people to be partially working or not working for a while and still receive the benefit. And so that was the types of things that we were discussing with MSD yesterday, and they are, you know, best endeavours, they're doing what they can within the existing law to get support and help to anyone who doesn't have sick leave or more stable employment.
So should employers be held responsible for stopping the spread of the coronavirus? Do you think sick leave provisions should be the most effective, will be the most effective way to stop the pandemic?
Well, sick leave applies when you're sick. So you can have people that are not sick, but who need to self-isolate for whatever reason. Our view is that employers have a health and safety obligation to their workplace and their staff, and our view in the first instance is that employers should be paying their staff if they can't work. But that's not always the case if the employer is, you know, basically having to close down because there's no longer demand, and that's where the benefit system comes in. Absolutely everyone has a place here. Employers have a place, and so does the government.
What do you think of the National Party's focus on protecting businesses and the economy first and foremost? Will it really help to scrap the minimum wage increase?
Unsurprisingly, we aren't supportive of scrapping the minimum wage increase. It's been long signalled that this is coming, so businesses have been able to prepare. If there's some other thing that's coming and hurting their business, like people not turning up or people having to self-isolate, that's the place for the types of business assistance that the government is looking at. So no, we're not supportive of the minimum wage. Well, we're supportive of it carrying on as normal, because the people who are in work, who aren't having to isolate and whatever, that's income that they will be spending. And absolutely what we need in the economy at the moment is those who can spend to spend to keep everyone else in business.
So not to play into the hysteria of the coronavirus, but lastly, do you think the social welfare system in New Zealand is robust enough to survive the pandemic? How worried should we be?
Oh, I don't know. What I could say is that I would encourage the government to again look at the Welfare Expert Advisory Group's recommendations, because they all stood before we got to this place. So they were recommending things like benefits increasing just because the benefits weren't high enough to keep people out of hardship. They were recommending working for families to be spread through. They were recommending less aggressive abatement provisions. So I think the welfare group's report is a good place to start generally. And if what we're talking about is extra stimulus in the economy to keep the people who are in business still going and help people through, people on benefits spend all their money. So that would be where I would sit. Whether we have to be worried, I don't have a view on, but I'd much like the First Union, would come back to the Welfare Expert Advisory Group's report as a good place to start.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.